Welcome to another episode of the Career Talks podcast. I am your host, as always, Orlando Haynes, each and every week, trying to do it each every week, every time. But work gets in the way, you know, life gets in the way. But I bring you expert guests here. The goal is to provide you actionable advice for your career and life. And I am on a mission to make this the number one career development podcast, period. So with that, super excited. Make sure you subscribe, Apple Podcast, as well as Spotify, YouTube, etc. Support the podcast, share, like, add your questions, comments, get involved. Let's make sure we're engaged in helping folks with their career development and finding work, right? So that's all what we're looking to do here. So super excited for tonight's topic is a staffing veteran. My background's also in staffing. So super excited to engage in this conversation for today. So I have Ms. Kim joining us today to share about the connections we can make with universities, which is hugely important. How are you, Kim?
Orlando, thank you so much for inviting me in. I'm great. I'm excited to talk about this topic tonight.
Awesome. Awesome. So for the folks that are not familiar with you, please share, you know, who you are, your background in your business.
Sure. Well, very similar to you, Orlando. I've been in the staffing industry since the 1990s and spent my entire career at two staffing companies. One was national and one was global, in roles all the way from, you know, recruiting to sales to business unit management to government division, startup and management of government solutions, as well as strategic national and international accounts. And then ultimately on the exec teams for both of those companies. And then finally decided about 4 years ago to leave the staffing industry and start a training company that trains individuals in the staffing industry. I thought that if I can take what I've learned and some of the things along the way, some of the mistakes that I've made, and bundle all that up and put it into training programs to help people kind of excel their career and get good at staffing faster, it's a great thing because it's a beautiful business. And we do a lot of tremendous work, not only for our clients, but for our candidates. As we all know, it can be difficult at times. So if there's a way to kind of, you know, leapfrog and help people get up to speed more quickly, that's what I hope to do with the training programs. That's what I try to do.
Awesome. So before we set up this broadcast, we talked about a topic and an idea, and you said one of the things you're passionate about and working on is partnering with universities, right, to help their students get employed. Because in this current career market, what I call the career economy, it's not easy, right? So we have a bunch of new graduates going to be graduating soon in May across the country, and not sure if there's that many openings within their skill sets, what they're looking for, what their hopes are, but it's good to know that there's an advocate out there within the staffing world to support them and help them build a better relationship with staffing firms, et cetera. Right. So definitely start to share with us why this came up for you.
Okay. Now that's a great question. Well, if we think back, well, as you indicated, Orlando, in 2023, we saw somewhat of a tepid hiring environment, and we saw a lot of layoffs in a lot of different skill set areas. And if you look at it, a lot of these individuals, unfortunately, they've been laid off or middle career to senior career. And you know, just think about it, Orlando, they, with the experience they have really struggled to go out in many cases and find gainful employment, right? And navigate that process, which is so difficult today. So take that back to and put yourself in the mindset of when you were 21, 22 years old, getting out of school, right? You know, you just don't jump into this world and know automatically how to find a job. You know, it was very difficult to navigate and you didn't know where to go, what to do and how to do it. So, you know, realizing that these folks already have a little bit of a uphill battle based on their age and their experience level being so minimal, that was, you know, really somewhat of the catalyst. But beyond that, if we look, Orlando, at the skills gap, right? Mm-hmm. So they're saying that by 2030, this is skillsgap.com, by 2030, there's going to be skilled talent shortages that's going to end up costing the U.S. economy $8.5 trillion, right? I don't know if that estimate's going to end up being true or not, but the net is, you know, we're finding client companies that need certain skills, right? And we have these new graduates out there that are you know, desperately trying to get work. So somebody needs to bridge that gap, right? And bring these two together. And so what we found in terms of when I was working with a staffing company, if we start to engage the university system and the kids, when they're in that university system, as they start to graduate, we can get our hands on those fresh graduates and help them get that job and get them introduced into our client companies. As an example, Orlando, I mean, you know, working with Mosaic, there's such a deficit of certain tech skills right now. There's a deficit of engineering skills, even in accounting and finance. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I know a lot of the big four and some of your larger accounting firms have now outsourced accounting functions to India, right? Wow. And that's anywhere from tax preparation to audit. So it's no longer IT that's just struggling in engineering to find these resources. It's now also finance and accounting, finding those CPAs. So realizing that we've got a miss, right? We've got companies that need the talent, and we've got folks getting out of school that can't link into those companies. That's where the staffing company, I think, comes in to go and help them. And again, bridge a large gap that we have right now. So that's kind of, I guess, the genesis of the how and the why behind it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well said. So I would assume that there's some type of framework that you're working from or created to support your mission here. What would that look like, engaging the universities? You're right, because they're willing to partner with direct to employers. What's their benefit in partnering with staffing firms?
Okay, it's a great question that you asked, because I think that there's some barriers, right, to staffing firms and universities working together. Number one, in large part, colleges and universities don't necessarily understand what staffing firms do. We've seen that time and again. They seem to have misconceptions about our industry and how we operate. Things, as an example, oh gosh, well, you're going to make students pay fees. No, that's not the case at all, right? It's client companies that do. It can be a bureaucratic type process for a staffing company, right? Oftentimes as a staffer, you know, you don't, it's like a government agency. You don't know where to start, what to do, who to engage, and how to do it, right? Beyond that, staffing companies, I think another, you know, difficulty for us working with the universities is the fact that it's a long process, right? This is not going to be an overnight sensation. It's going to take the time, the energy, the effort, and the commitment. And I think oftentimes staffing companies, you know, they're so consumed with, you know, we've got to get the placement, we've got to put numbers on the board, that sometimes they lose somewhat the appetite and the desire to realize that this is the long game, unfortunately. So what we said is, okay, let's try to distill it down into, you know, actionable steps for any staffing company to approach it. And Orlando started to do some work with the American Staffing Association. I volunteer for them. And in our marketing group, we've actually taken this as one of our actions moving forward this year to kind of create a quote unquote cheat sheet or toolkit for staffing companies so they know what to do, right? And they can engage. So I'd say the first thing is assign somebody, you know, from your staffing company and have this be their responsibility, either one person, two people, maximum three. Because I think if you don't assign somebody, you and I know how that goes, Orlando. It's everybody's responsibility and it's nobody's responsibility. And ultimately, you know, nothing ever happens, right? So I think you have to assign somebody, one or two people maybe, to kind of share the work that's going to take, or the groundwork foundation that's going to take. Second, you need to approach colleges and universities that are close in proximity to where you live, right? Mm-hmm. If you're living in Washington, D.C. area, you're trying to get in touch and do work and make headway in North Carolina, probably not going to work. You're going to have to be on site. You're going to have to be meeting people. You're going to be having to engage in activities and in conversations, right? And then I think one of the third things is, you have to have the proper mindset. And I alluded to this a moment ago. It's like when we approach a client, Orlando, back in the staffing days, as a prospect, you need to sit down and understand their pain points, their challenges, their issues, and you need to be willing and ready to educate them and inform them about what you do and how you're going to help them. This is exactly the same, right? Because I mentioned that, you know, oftentimes universities don't really get what we do. So we need to educate them and we need to learn what their pain points are. They often do have a lot of pain points when it comes to connecting students to jobs and realizing the best way to go about it. So listening and asking questions and having the proper mindset on it, I think is the first thing. I would say taking that one step further, Orlando, and hopefully our listeners that are familiar with this, don't start running for the hills and jump off the cliff, because I'll put it into context. So I think beyond assigning an individual to do this, having the proper mindset, approaching colleges and universities that are directly in your vicinity so you can drive there and get engaged in activities, the next thing you need to do is register on Handshake. And Handshake, it's a career marketplace. I know you're familiar with it, Orlando, for students, so and they can connect to jobs and employers. Companies need to go register on this. They need to post jobs. They do need to be somewhat active on this so they can have a positive score. Now, having said that, most staffing companies, you know, somewhat grumble about Handshake. They say, hey, haven't really gotten anything out of it. Hasn't been useful. I've tried, don't really get anywhere. What I would say is that's not going to be where your win is necessarily. Mm. I think you need to do it and somewhat check that box and realize that it's going to come down to the relationships that you build, right? Go to Handshake. It's not like when we were in staffing, we had to fill out that vendor form or that RFI or that RFP. I called it like the price of entry, checking the box, the price of entry, but we knew how we were going to make money in staffing is getting out there and solving pain and meeting people and working with our clients and our candidates. So I think if we put Handshake in the proper perspective, it's something we need to do. We need to be active, be engaged in it, because it's the price of entry. That's you know, probably step that's within this first set of steps. Mm-hmm. Next, which I think is where the rubber starts hitting the road, is we need to reach out to, and all universities have a different name for it. It could be called corporate outreach, industry outreach, career services. And there's an individual or a group of individuals that typically run that office. Go meet with them, right? And educate them, inform them what staffing companies do. Find out some of their issues, some of their problems, some of their struggles and their challenges. And really start to build that bridge. I think they're the starting point for the relationship. I don't know if you'd agree with that and some of the work that you've done. There's there's more to this than that. But to me, that was the starting point to have that individual realize that we're there to help them and be able to answer their questions about staffing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I love all the steps you shared. I just want to reiterate at least two or three. The first one you said is like be on site, right? Really, be present in that community, which is massively huge. Because I hear that all the time traveling throughout North America to the universities and asking them, you know, what are some of the top employers that are pretty much gaining more interest from the students? And they say the ones that are, you know, physically on site the most, because it's just a matter of memory, repetition. They see this big YX oil and gas or whatever company, tech company, whoever it is. But they're gaining the most interest because they're there and showing the most presence. Two, in what you said was be local, you know, touch the local universities. That's a switch from the staffing traditional model, right? The national, you can go everywhere. Oh, we're never going to meet you, you know, him or her client. But we're never going to meet the candidate face to face. It'll just be through Zoom and phone calls. But having that touch point where you said you can meet the career services community industry outreach team and then build true relationships and kind of really train them right before they leap into the corporate space or into the, you know, to the workforce, that you're giving them real time information, because they're boots on the ground on one side, but helping the students on the other side. I think that's a phenomenal strategy. Yep. Keep going. I love it.
So Orlando, let me ask you one question. Was your experience on Handshake similar to what staffing companies experience, because, you know, by and large, that is one of their largest obstacles is, you know, working through handshake. And I tell them, like, you've got to reframe your mind. It's not going to necessarily yield fruit to you. You need to go, again, look at it as a price of entry and then view it like a client or prospect, go out and develop relationships. I mean, would you agree with that, my handshake assessment?
Absolutely, 100%. It's just a step in the process you got to do to be compliant. You know, be compliant, put it on there so they know you're engaged at that point. At least, you know, that department can reference and say, hey, they're in the system because they got an approved account. And here's where you can reference. You'll get a few students that look at it. But for the most part, it's not going to yield high results at all. I can tell you just in the company I work for now, we ask those survey questions. How did you hear about us? And it's less than 1% who heard of the role that we're offering from a co-op perspective is, you know, through handshake. It's always been through referral, LinkedIn, job boards, postings, everywhere else, except for handshake. It's just a step in the process. Yeah.
Yes. Price of entry. So I'm glad to hear that you somewhat echo that, or wonder if it was just staffing companies that were, completely frustrated by it, but that's okay. We'll get to it the other way. I think, you know, going to industry outreach, career services is reaching out to the deans and the assistant deans of the colleges. So say it's School of Accounting, right? And you are, you know, you're really working on getting CPAs, or School of Engineering, if you, you know, service a lot of manufacturing and customers in the engineering environment, going and introducing yourself to those deans and assistant deans, and even maybe down to the professor level, to go and start to build those relationships, right? And again, for staffers, staffing companies, is just like how we would go and try to penetrate a prospect, right? You know, you're going to meet the VPs of IT, you're going to meet the director, you're going to meet the hiring managers. It's the same thing. Look at it, view it the same way, like it's a company you're trying to go in and meet and penetrate. So, and I think also once we hit those deans and assistant deans, looking at, depending on the university or the college and how they're structured, there are the university resource groups. There are also career advisors. Mm-hmm. There's also alumni groups. You know, we had a lot of folks that belong to the USF Alumni Association and went and got involved with that, and that was key. There's also those business fraternities and sororities to go and get involved with them and show up at events and do things like that. So again, those are, I think, some ways to start to navigate a little more deeply. And I think where we started to you know, maybe get more traction is those individual industry groups, right? Like you have the Society for Industrial and Electronic Engineering, I think it's IEEE. And there'll be institutions like that within a college to where you can go and join like IEEE or attend their meetings and go meet their members, puts you right in touch with engineers, right? And folks that you may want to recruit for your engineering manufacturing customers. So those are also some key elements as well. Any other thoughts on that, Orlando? Because I've got more, but I want to see what.
No, yeah. Yeah, so.
Found success with getting in some of those groups, right? Alumni groups, fraternity sororities that are business related, the industry organizations like IEEE.
Exactly. So it's really, there's tons of student groups across the board. Like you said, IEEE, there's NSBE, there's SWE. NSBE is National Society of Black Engineers, SWE, Society of Women Engineers. There's AIKE, which is the Association of Chemical, like there's a ton out there. Mm-hmm. So there's student groups, and then there's diversity student groups of different, you know, disciplines and majors that you can tap into. Your model is simply is really a internship co-op model, and what you're doing is program management. And what's really cool, because applying it to that industry, the staffing industry, changes that up. Plus, you said earlier, when you're meeting with the deans in that, you'll find that they're more open and more receptive versus a prospect, right? Take several contacts. They, you know, they feel that staffing firms are all the same, et cetera. You know, there's a little bit of a distaste for some industries and things like that, but which there shouldn't be. I wish there was more partnership there as well. But when you connect with a university, you'll find that they're going to open their arms wide and give you a big hug and have you come in and like, hey, the more you can support, the more you can come on staff, the more you want to connect with the different student groups, the better. And the student groups, they're welcome, right? There's different ways to connect, you know, through sponsorships, et cetera. But I think that's a phenomenal idea to know that there's a beeline, right? There's a direct beeline to potential, you know, opportunities. But again, the coaching you can do ahead of time on a more consistent basis to offer them opportunities is crucial. I think universities should, if they're not using or reaching out to organizations like yourself, Kim, they absolutely need to. Yeah.
You make a great point, Orlando, that made me smile, you know, is staffing folks, you know, we, like you said, we hit a bunch of prospects at our companies and it's like, oh my gosh, you're the third one that's called me today. Yeah. Oh no, another staffing company. So you find that, you know, the receptivity to meet staffing providers is sometimes not as good as we'd want it to be. Right. But right. You know, to your point in the university system, they're not necessarily getting, you know, getting their door beat down every day by staffing individuals wanting to meet with them. So to you know, what you said, that they're much more willing, ready and able to engage with you and sit down and listen to what you have to say and answer your questions. So that is one beauty of it, that there is much less pushback, right? Or resistance in trying to go and engage with these individuals versus when we're trying to break into to a new prospect. And we all know how that can go.
Yeah, and I'll add this one thing is, I think what universities see, where they see the most engagement, is during the career fair season, right? They get 80 to 100 or 50, you know, 200, so depending on the university, to engage. Then they sparse out, and maybe a few, maybe a percent of that, I'm not sure, far later, a greater, less participation on site, right? We made our presence, we pull out. But then we still make those connections. But the physical presence, like you said at the top of the broadcast, is that having someone local, that's where when they're not on career season cycle, you can still have a presence and still support and educate and train on a more consistent basis than an employer doing it. It's tougher for us to go out to multiple at one time versus, and we're only focused on our company versus, you know, a staffing firm coming out and saying, hey, I can come, but I can also bring five different companies that are looking for this types of roles. Yeah,
exactly. We've also had in the past success, Orlando, with senior design projects, right? Mm-hmm. So say if it's the engineering school or IT school that needs to go and produce a project, their senior project, that we've, you know, obviously as a staffing individual, we're not necessarily the best person to go and, you know, grade them on the success of this, but bringing in our clients to do so and say, hey, client A, would you like to get involved with a senior design project and go and judge these, right? And there's been some success with that because that always gets your client somewhat excited. Wow, the staffing company is providing value to me beyond just calling me up, hey, you know, do you have a job order? They're actually taking me into the university system and having me go and judge a project, you know, an engineering project. So we had saw some success with that. And also, getting on panels, right? Like acting as speakers, you know, going to an engineering event for the engineering school and talking to the students and saying, you know, hey, here are the skills that employers want. Here's the expertise. Here are the type of projects, and really kind of educating them as to what the local market looks like. Because I think it's more than, you know, there's the tactical stuff, right? Like teaching them how to do a resume and interview, which is great. But explain to them, here's what's going on, kids, in the market. You know, here's what you need to be prepared for and with, and here's how you can go and get that competitive advantage. Here's what employers are looking for. So a lot of success in actually going and talking to the students in these schools, whether it's accounting or engineering or IT. I'm sure you've done that as well, to kind of guide them a little bit in terms of what they should be, you know, focused on and doing from an academic standpoint.
Yeah. And like I said, it's mirroring a co-op internship program model. I think the major difference is your side would have the advantage of the frequency. I think you can increase the frequency of those touch points, especially, again, I'm going to reiterate this a third time, is what you said, someone in that market, that's whatever in driving distance or whatever it is to those local universities. So those relationships are, again, built up. And you'll find that there are employers that won't go, right? We won't go to certain events just because maybe, hey, it's not the skill set that we need at the current time, but which is pretty much standard for staffing firms too. But again, you have a higher touch point opportunity because you're local, of that person being there versus a company mayor where they may need to go outside of their, you know, their backyard, which most companies do now at these career fairs to find that talent. But that is again, I can't stress it enough. It's a phenomenal model that the universities, I'm sure they'll embrace it. I'm not sure how far you are along in that process, but I'm sure they're absolutely look to embrace it because it just benefits the students. The goal, the target is the students to find opportunities.
Right. And providing curriculum guidance within that professor and the assistant deans, because I feel like, again, you know, maybe that curriculum is made somewhat in a vacuum, right? Because academia doesn't necessarily know what industry is looking for and what industry is going to hire. So I think that's where we come in and saying, hey, you know, you need to be teaching IT people about IT security, you know, AI, cloud, whatever that is, Java, you know, don't be teaching them this particular skill because it's not in high demand, it's antiquated, whatever that may be. So I think that's a huge piece as well, offering that curriculum guidance. So, you know, the students are getting the right training. So they're not coming out already with some skill that's not in demand. And I think that's a key piece too. Do you guys do quite a bit of that at Mosaic as well? Try to educate, you know, on the curriculum. Hey, professors, here's what you need to be teaching folks.
So where there's opportunity, where it makes sense, I believe so. We have individuals, senior management, that's senior engineers that sit on the board of certain student groups at different universities, and you know, the Chamber of Commerce, local markets, et cetera. Because Mosaic is such a large company, there it does make sense, right, to deepen that community relations. So there's definitely opportunity for that across the board, for sure. Yeah.
You know, Orlando, I don't know if you would agree with this, but one thing I found, I guess, is an overarching hurdle or obstacle to jump over. We talked about a few of those earlier on for staffing companies. Is I think that a lot of universities, my analysis is, it's not job one, it's not their top priority to find students jobs, right? I think a lot of universities, it's, you know, research or it's getting published. I think that if it's a teaching school, right, more like University of Tampa, I think they're more focused on getting students jobs when they graduate versus some universities that are just more focused on research and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I found just wasn't in some cases a top priority. So depending on the school and how they're structured, but I almost felt like, you know, like for instance, at the American Staffing Association, the young lady that heads up our marketing division graduated from Cornell. And she said that as she was graduating, you know, their theory was, you know, you're just supposed to go get a job. Here's a book over here you can read, you know, for resources and good luck. And she said, wow, you know, pay all that money for an education and have no guidance whatsoever. She was saying it was clear that it just wasn't a priority for them. And I think that's kind of what we found as well as staffing it, depending on the university or the college, some were more excited to help than others, right? You know, I don't know if you would agree with that or if I'm explaining it the right way, but I felt like getting students jobs was not job one for them in some cases.
Yeah, and I'll agree and share 2 points. So it depends on the schools. Yeah. You'll find that it's that one professor or director of career services who supports, you know, that initiative in developing their students for the market, right? So they're more passionate about it. And what I've noticed from school to school is where there are some universities that the career services team does not have the skill set to prepare them. They're like you mentioned earlier, sometimes they give them antiquated information, and this is prevalent when you go to career fairs and just how they present themselves. There's two particular universities. I won't say their names, but when the students come up to you, you know they've been coached, prepped, ready. And I'm talking a high percentage. These are hundreds and hundreds of students. And it was like a 95 percentile. Each student that I met with had their pitch together. They were focused. They had the right questions. And I was just like, man, if I can hire right on the spot, I would. And then the others where you can tell, you know, there was no coaching in development in that, just for some who may have got it from previous, you know, maybe from family members or whatever, but it wasn't a cohesive mission, like you said, to develop them, to make sure they're getting in the market versus getting through the coursework. And I think that's where career services across the board may need to, you know, fill that gap, like prepare them for building a presence in how to present themselves once they pass the test and exams, right?
Exactly. And to your point, to kind of expand on that, you know, I think it would, again, another strategy for staffing companies, in addition to what we've talked about, is offering, you know, workshops for students, right? You know, hey, here's how you put a resume together. Here's how you apply to jobs to navigate, you know, through the ATS system. Here's how you know, students attend a networking event, you know, and here's what are some things to ask and do and navigate that. Here's how you know, what you ask in an interview prep. Here's how you would negotiate a job offer. So there's a lot of different, what I'd say is, you know, either in-person events or webinars that a staffing company can host, should host, to go help the students to get prepared to come out, right? Because Orlando, I go back to what I said, you know, at the very beginning, even mid-level or senior-level career individuals don't know how to do all those things. You know, you and I were on a panel together about a week ago, and, you know, there are folks that ask questions about an ATS. How do I navigate? What do I do? How do I get my resume through there? What do I do in this situation? So if people, you know, mid and late career don't know these things, really, somebody right fresh out of college is, it definitely needs the help. So that's where staffing companies can provide a lot of value. I'll call that value add, is by prepping them on, you know, interviewing, resume, applying, negotiation, all those things. And I think what they'll find is, if they're willing to go and do those webinars, you know, the professors and career services will likely promote them and help sign people up for that. So they're not necessarily doing the heavy lifting of getting people signed up. So that's a huge piece of it. I call value add. What value are you adding to the students to where the university sees, okay, they really are here to help. And that's a key piece of it.
Yeah. And I think, let me know if you agree with this statement. This is just me thinking that there's still this antiquated thinking from universities that the namesake of where they graduate from is still going to automatically, you know, throw them into a you know, through the doors of the interview process and land an immediate interview because it's a prestigious school or top tier school. And in my mind and in the market, just looking at the market, I'm like, we're not in that space anymore. Agreed. You got to fight just as hard as someone coming out of a community college.
I agree. You know, to find an opportunity. Yeah, I agree. It doesn't, you know, necessarily, I don't think, at least when you work with a staffing company and you have your client companies, you know, they look to see that the individual has graduated and what their degree is in. Are they particularly, you know, impressed or unimpressed by one school over another? The answer to that is 9 times out of 10, no. You know, they're just looking to see that the individual went and completed the curriculum and has the basic skills and background to be an electrical engineer, you know, or an IT developer, you know, something of that line. They're not necessarily saying, okay, because you graduated from, you know, Penn or something like that, that you're going to necessarily be any better over someone that graduated from the University of Texas. I think to your point, those days are gone. You know, maybe there is some validity in the Ivy League, but even with that, I think those days are gone. People are really looking for the skills. You know, do I have a certified CPA in here? Do I have a PE, professional engineer, that's certified, or a PMP, or whatever it is? Do they have the skills? It's not so much about the school anymore. And you're correct. Schools still have that. That we'll call it, to your point, antiquated mindset that, you know, their name is going to carry them oftentimes they think a lot farther than it really will.
Yeah, absolutely. So if any universities, and I please trust me, I connect with a ton of universities, but that is something, and you know, that's a work through, right? That's something that's going to take a while, because all change is going to start from the top, whatever, you know, he or she is, that dean that needs to really invest more into the development. Not just in the curriculum. Yes, we need those folks to graduate with certain degrees to get certain jobs, but they need to know how to get the job, because coming out of school, all they got was the degree, not the job. Yeah.
You're right. And, you know, they didn't get the skills, right? And that's what they need to get at this point. They need to get the skills and the experience behind them. They've just got the degree that said, I was willing to start, you know, start at A, finish at Z, and learn the curriculum, you know, based on the job I want to get in between. Another component, Orlando, I know you do so much of this because I follow you on LinkedIn and see this. You attend career fairs with amazing regularity and consistency. I do believe that in order for staffing companies to be successful at this as well, they need to attend the career fairs and really put their better foot forward, because there's a lot of competition out there. You know, you could have, everyone has their setup, right? You're competing against, in a way, you know, Mosaic may be a client company, but if it's not, you're competing against a Mosaic, you're competing against a Deloitte, an Ernst & Young, an Accenture, you know, locally in Tampa, Outback headquarters, you know, whatever it may be, they're all going to be at these career fairs. And I think staffing companies need to realize you've got to really invest in it, do those, do them properly, and advertise and do it the right way. I think if you call it, you know, have a lackadaisical, half-hearted approach to it as a staffing company, not going to happen. Again, like anything, this is going to take a commitment, right? And a consistent outreach. And part of that is the career fairs and doing it the proper way, which sometimes folks don't have an appetite for. But
you'll see. You're absolutely right, Kim, because what I see is one locally, I'll see one staffing firm in a sea of maybe, you know, 67 employers. Now, I get it from the job seeker perspective. They can think, well, why go through you if I can go direct? But you just got to broaden your scope, right? That's free marketing, free leverage to companies that may not be, you know, showcasing their openings on job boards. Why not connect with those staffing firms, right? Can't put all your eggs in one basket. So I think, yeah, like you said, that's a miss. Both on the staffing side to get back out there, and then two, it's a miss for the job seeker if they're bypassing them and just saying, well, let me just go to Coca-Cola directly. Why do I need to go through you guys? Well,
go to Coca-Cola directly, to your point. You know, your resume could swim around in a very large building and touch people and then go into the black hole. So, yeah, the staffing company helps, you know, streamline that process. But also, too, you know, I think a lot of it is, you know, if you're a staffing company, educate again on contract jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there is always this within the university system, and maybe even with students, I have to get out and I have to have this permanent job. You know, when I first got out of school, I was in a contract to hire job in the financial services industry. It wasn't a great market, you know, back in 1991, it was a bit of a recession. So I took a contract to hire job. And I tell you what, it was great. It's like what we know. It enabled me to determine, okay, you know, try before you buy. This place isn't so bad. I think I'm getting the hang of it. And it enabled them to try before they bought, right? And then ultimately the job rolled into permanent and I stayed. So I think the staffing company does itself a disservice by not educating universities and students as to the benefit of contract or contract to hire employment, if that's what they want, or if they can't go and get in permanent with an organization. There's so many benefits to trying before you buy on both sides. So I think that we need to do a much better job of approaching that topic with a university and the students.
Yeah, huge. That's so huge. Because that's right. That's quick to start. That's a quick start potentially versus going through a 3-week, 15-step interview process or 3 months, right? Hey, two steps. Can you start next week this time? Fast, you know, in the door, possibly a better hourly pay rate because there's no benefits into those things. And I know people are worried about that, but give me the income. I'll worry about the benefits later, right?
Exactly. And in a lot of staffing companies, Dad, say the vast majority of them realize they have to be competitive, and they do offer medical benefits. Right. So these days, you know, they can get maybe a higher hourly rate and get the medical benefits. And I say, you know, the worst thing that happens is you determine, or the client determines, at the end of 6 months, okay, it was great, it was good, it was well, it was nice meeting you, it's not going to turn into a permanent role. Then what do you have? You have experience on your resume that says, hey, I started this contract job at XYZ Financial Services and I completed it. I completed my contract. Now I'm ready to move on to the next contract or to a permanent job. So it really is a win-win. And I think it's something that could be leveraged more, especially in this economy where it can be a little, you know, hiring can be a little tepid right now. Yeah. And then Orlando, I know that, again, you guys do a great job of this. But again, staffing companies, many of them will do well of this. Others could do better. Posting on LinkedIn, not only posting the open jobs to attract students, but also building your own personal brand on LinkedIn, right? Showing that XYZ manufacturing company, you know, while we may be making, you know, weapon systems or whatever that case may be, something that's maybe not as glamorous or as exciting as working for Google, here's what we do. Here are the programs that we're involved in. Here's our philosophy. Here's the fun that we have. Here's us in and out. You know, all those things that build the brand. I think a lot of staffing companies don't do that, right? Yep. They need to do a better job of showcasing what they have. Because let's face it, they may find students that not only for their client companies, but also internally. Maybe they, for their back office, they need to hire accountants, or maybe they need to hire HR folks or internal IT. You know, they need to showcase their company to attract students to them for internal jobs or for external jobs with their clients.
Yeah. I can go off on a tangent for sure about the personal branding piece. But the one crucial thing is making that work for you, right? For the staffing firms, not only, right, because the traditional model was smiling and dialing for candidates. Right. But if you're allowing your, you know, even on the corporate side, your talent acquisition team or staffing firm leverage their personal brand for those that are willing to do so, you attract more people. So you got the outreach and the inreach happening at the same time. So you have dual efforts. And I think that will assist in creating, I mean, the market now is such where we're getting an influx, but it still helps to maybe get the right eyeballs on the profile from an employer standpoint. We're like, wow, we didn't know Kim and her team specialize in financial services or IT and or engineering. Like, look at all the jobs they're putting. We actually need someone with a PMP, and they're consistently showcasing, you know, talent or opportunities like that. We need to get with them to fill our roles, or showing successes of fills that they've made, you know, showcasing the wins like that. That'll be huge too on the platform.
Yeah, that's great. And you mentioned, you know, we mentioned a minute ago, us training students, staffing companies training students to, you know, to interview and negotiate and do a resume. You also need to train them on how to do, to your point, a LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
Because many, you know, many folks, again, in college that are coming out, they may be on platforms like TikTok or, you know, or Facebook or whatever the case may be, but they do need to be on LinkedIn, and they do need to have a compelling profile. And to that point, how to connect to people, how to join different groups on LinkedIn, how to network people and reach out to them when it comes to trying to find a job. Staffing company may or may not get you a job, right? Or you may or may not interview at Mosaic and take a job there. You need to understand how to leverage LinkedIn to help you look for that role. And I pretty much know for a fact, I don't know many universities or colleges that are teaching that to students. And that really is something where I believe a staffing company can help, in addition to the traditional things like interviewing and resume preparation and things like that.
Yeah. So some of, you know, they're getting shown how to just set it up. But to your point, Kim, it's being taught how to engage. That creates the presence, and which is my big thing. It's not just building a profile, but it's building a presence, mm-hmm. right? Anyone can build a profile. It's the presence that's going to impact your, you know, your career mobility throughout your journey. So showing the students that, if staffing firms can get out there and start showing, hey, here's how you engage. Here's the type of messages. Here's some type of content you want to do. You know, I teach on that too, but for staffing firms to be able to do that with universities, huge.
And it's funny you mentioned that again, things that, you know, we just don't come into the world knowing how to do, especially today. You know, there's folks out there such as yourself and others that, you know, teach, here's how you engage and build a brand on LinkedIn. You know, people make a living off of that. So it's very clear that a lot of people don't know how to do that, especially students that are just right out of college. I think there's another piece of this too that we haven't mentioned. That's a pillar to the strategy, and that's the DE&I side of it. And I think, you know, staffing companies need to determine, okay, we have to have this DE&I, we have to have a DE&I strategy. How are we going to engage that within the university and college system? So, you know, whether it be targeting historic HCBUs or specific organizations like, I know, like, for instance, I'm trying to remember if it was UT or USF that had the, you know, Hispanic Engineering Association, but again, targeting those specific diversity groups within the university system is key. And I think that's a huge opportunity right there. And again, staffing companies miss, or they just don't think to go that avenue. It's another leg in the stool, you know, to the entire strategy.
Yeah, there's tons of diverse engineering group. When I say tons, maybe a good that have a national presence, because that's something I track on a daily basis and see how many universities that have active chapters. Like you said, the Hispanic one is SHPE, SHPE, Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers. And then, like I mentioned earlier, NESB, then there's American Indian, there's the Native American. There are several large groups that are wanting to partner with employers, wanting to partner with, you know, they might, I can tell you, I speak to the student, you know, the student offices of those associations per university. They're not aware of the connection they can make with staffing firms. No clue.
Okay.
No clue. So there's an opportunity because they're solely focused on direct engagement with employers. Right. But again, employers can only hire so much. Exactly. Right. We don't have, you know, you may have a graduating class of 600. We don't have 600 opportunities. And it gets windled down to, and then you got to look at how many are entry level. Right. So that funnel gets tighter and tighter, just going with the employers. And I get they're doing the broad reach, but tap into those folks with the students that are the presidents, the treasurer, the VPs, you know, of those student engineering groups or whatever student group it is, in a diverse manner. Right. They're definitely looking for partners. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And the staffing companies, they sometimes neglect that, or they're maybe navigating through the system and feel like, okay, I'm over here doing this, or I'm providing, you know, webinars, I'm doing the career fairs, I'm meeting with, you know, the major groups, you know, career services. And I think maybe they forget, or their efforts get diluted to where they can tend to overlook that, and they shouldn't, because that's a massive, like you said, opportunity there to connect the students to the companies. And so I just want to make certain that anyone that's a staffing company listening to this realizes that that's part of the strategy, a big key piece of it, to go tap into the right kind of students.
Yeah, one connection and one coordinating of a, like you said, maybe an event to where you're coaching them on resumes, whatever, can put them in front of 20, 30 to 40 students at one time. With just one reach out, you know, to the right person. And that information is all on the university websites, right? Which student groups they have.
And the interesting thing on websites, to your point, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, Orlando. No, you know, there's names out there, right? It's not like, you know, again, like when we reach out to our prospects and you have to go on LinkedIn and dig and find names and email addresses. I mean, websites for universities and colleges are pretty much an open book. There's names and contact information for almost anybody that you would want to get to. So, you know, the research part of it is so much easier. You know, it's more streamlined. All you really have to do is reach out and get out there, get in front of them, ask the questions, and educate, and then start to navigate around and get involved in those events. And I think maybe one final thing that we didn't talk about, which is it's a very obvious thing, But, you know, if you're a staffing company, go to your client companies and ask your client companies, tell me about your internship program. You know, mm-hmm. what type of interns do you want? Do you need? How have you been getting them? Where are your shortfalls? And then as you're working with the students in the university system, start to directly, you know, engage them, you know, with those organizations for internship programs. And as a staffer, you may not be getting paid on that now as a placement, right? But what you're doing is you're providing value to that prospect or that client to say, hey, I'm more than just someone, you know, who's moving a resume at you. I'm here to provide value to help you solve your workforce challenges, mm-hmm. right? And ultimately, you may not get a fee for that person because you're connecting them with an intern, but ultimately it's going to come back to you as they remember that you help them with their strategy and with their hiring problems. So yeah, placements in the future, maybe not today. So I think that's a key piece of it, the whole internship piece.
Yep, phenomenal key. That's a great point. Really great point, Kim.
And I know that we have found, at least internally from a staffing perspective, a lot of interns that we would take personally from universities to go and become recruiters or salespeople or back office accountants or HR, found that to be a tremendous breeding ground, you know, new graduates and folks before they graduated, the interns, to go bring them into our organization and train them. And we hired a lot over the years that were great hires, you know, just needed the training and needed the help. So yeah. Didn't want to forget that. That's huge.
Exactly. And I think just to your point, though, why staffing firms should do this, it's simply because they have, I would say, more the manpower to do it, because that's their day-to-day full-time versus, mm-hmm. you know, certain organizations, they may have a smaller, you know, co-op department or internship department where, again, the activity and touch point is not as frequent as they would like it to be versus, hey, you know, a staffing firm can do that. And again, the sole goal is to develop those students into, you know, individuals who can go out and land opportunities and succeed in corporate America or whatever path they're taking. But yeah, I think that your model and how you outlined your framework, as long as you get people that are willing to execute, you should see a spike in really, you know, you'll have universities cheering you guys on.
Yeah. And I think for staffing companies, if you're beating your head through a wall and you're wondering, how am I going to find CPAs? How am I going to find these IT people or engineering resources, whatever it is, you know, and you're hitting all of the cylinders, right? Referral networks, LinkedIn, cold call recruit, what all the normal things that we do to recruit, and you're still not able to locate the talent. I think that is a strategy. You really do need to start to engage the colleges and universities in your area. And because it's not going to happen overnight, as you know, it's going to take a while, but start to build that pipeline of new graduates that you can go and get into your system and get over to your client companies. And I think, Orlando, the net of it is you have to look at this, I guess, you know, if you put it all together, it's consistent communication with the universities, right? It's making sure that we're following up with all the departments that we should be within the university system. Again, educating them, informing them, building relationships, and then ultimately giving value add services to them, right? Whether that's helping students with LinkedIn, interviewing, things that we talked about before, giving the value add services. So I think that's kind of really putting it all together in terms of what I've learned works well. What doesn't work well? Inconsistent follow up, stopping and starting, showing up one time per semester. The quick hit mentality, none of that works. So I really would say that the yield is there for a staffing company. The success will happen, but it's just like gaining new clients. You have to put in the time and the effort and realize that it is the long game.
It is. Well thought out, executable plan. Love it. Huge advocate for it. That is phenomenal, Kim. Yeah. And phenomenal plan. Phenomenal plan.
Anything, Orlando, that you'd like to add? Because I know that you are a king in this space as far as college recruitment. You do quite a bit of it and you do it well and you know it well. So anything that you found that perhaps I didn't mention, you know, it's either good, bad, indifferent, or you know, a silver bullet or anything, any thoughts?
No. I think step by step, the approach is accurate. And I think the gap only for the university, maybe in the students, is the lack of awareness of the value that staffing firms can bring, right? Again, they're heavy on trying to go direct, but it's when you see the employers, you know that funnel is super, super tight, right? Mm-hmm. I'm at universities where the Secret Service, FBI, CIA there, that's a tight funnel. Certain organizations, those are 6 to 9 month, you know, I just recently found this out. Those are 6 to 9 month interview process. You have to have a passion to want to go into, you know, the work for the government to wait that long. So not to say other companies are doing it, but I think the quickness of the contract opportunity, understanding that, to know that, hey, you graduate May, whatever, May 1st, May 15th, whatever that date is, and potentially by 2 weeks later, you're in a job, even though it's contract, but right. If you've landed something quicker versus waiting several months like your graduating peers, because of the current market conditions is crucial. That's a major win for students going the contract route out the gate if there's nothing that they can land. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if you, like you said, start to work in 2 weeks versus it may take you, you know, 4 months to find a job. How much mm-hmm. farther ahead are you from a standpoint of skills and experience, right?
Yep.
You almost get to leapfrog your fellow students if they're still out there looking for work because they're holding tight on, you know, demanding a perm job versus being willing to take that contract role. So I'm definitely biased sometimes toward contract because it works, and I think it can benefit both parties. So, but you know, great observation what you talked about. You know, some of these, like you mentioned, you know, government jobs, you have to be. You got to, like you said, patience of steel, because I think once you're in, you know, you're in and you've got quite a nice, long, lucrative career. But I think it's getting in, you know, to something like that is the ultimate in patience and perseverance.
Absolutely. Kim, I appreciate you. We're definitely at the top of the hour. Right. That was packed with so much information for sure. You know what? I would love to do a part two. To see how this is working, you know, in a couple of months, to see what connections you've made or how you see this progressing, and just really share some of the wins in this model taking off, you know, with the staffing agencies. But share with folks where they can connect with you, follow you, etc.
Okay, outstanding. So I am on LinkedIn, Kim Henderson, and obviously you can reach out to me via email on LinkedIn, or just direct message me through LinkedIn. Phone number's there, email's there on my page, Kim Henderson. Happy to talk to you, happy to share any insights, happy to answer any questions that you have. If you're a staffer and you're just starting this or you want to start this, I realize that, you know, it's a large organization. Sometimes it's hard to navigate, but hopefully we gave you a little bit of a blueprint tonight of how to jump in and who to talk to. But if anything's still fuzzy, happy to help, happy to answer questions. Just give me a call, find me on LinkedIn, Kim Henderson, and we'll talk about it.
You absolutely laid the blueprint, Kim, without a doubt, 100%. Absolutely. Folks, I appreciate you joining us for this episode. Make sure to subscribe, follow Kim. Staffing firms, reach out. Hopefully you get flooded with folks asking questions, bringing you on to train their team and how to connect this and roll this out. I feel like I want to be a part of it too. That's awesome. But definitely a phenomenal plan, and I think it'll benefit both sides, students, staffing firms, and universities to make that happen for sure. Absolutely. Any final thoughts?
No, I would just say that this will work. It just takes some time and some perseverance and tenacity. And long story short, if you're a staffing company, look at it again, like trying to go gain a new customer. All the things you do to gain a new customer, approach it this way from a penetration and relationship building standpoint as you engage universities, and you'll win. I'm confident. Thank you, Orlando. I appreciate you inviting me in.
Thanks, Kim. We'll see you next time, folks.
Okay. Take care. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.